Blog Talk Radio.
Monday night, we've got a awesome show tonight. We just got through competing in the Mountain High Barbecue Showdown up there in Franklin, North Carolina. I had 51 awesome teams up there. Two of us going for our seventh grand up there. Fourth one only won it, which was Rub Bagby. From the Swamp Boys from Florida got his seventh Jack qualifier. Last contest he could do before the deadline. Big congrats to Rub. He really whooped everybody's butt up there. So glad he won, though. Great showing. Want to congratulate another seven-time winner, which is Donnie Bray from Warren County Pork Choppers. He won in McMinnville, Tennessee. Want to give a big congrats to him and to South Fork Winning Reserve Grand up there and Jackie Price. Smoke on this for winning third overall. Great contest up there as well. We are still stuck on number six. Hopefully we'll in the next 2 weeks. We'll hopefully get our number seven to get the honor to go see our buddies Donnie and Rub. We've got another guest tonight. Our first guest tonight is David Bosco from Butcher Barbecue, one of my sponsors. He's going to talk a little bit about Barbecue Pitmasters, his latest win on there. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he's sitting on number six also. So hopefully he can get number seven. I can get number seven. We can all go up there and enjoy the Jack this year. But anyways, I do want to thank my sponsor, Royal Oak Charcoal, Big Daddy's Bar and Grill, Butcher Barbecue, Springle Mountain Farms, Wicked Q, Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills, and Southern Q Smokers. Great to have y'all on board, helping us do what we love to do. And sponsors are always a plus. So, you know, any companies out there looking to sponsor some teams, there's plenty of good ones out there. But anyway, without further ado, I'd like to put David Bosk on from Butcher Barbecue. David, how you doing tonight?
We're doing good. Can you hear me good, Jim?
Yeah. Yeah, we're good.
Okay. All right. Glad to hear it. Thanks for inviting me on to talk.
Well, we had a little cluster last weekend on the radio show and everything, and I don't know what the computer was doing, but it wasn't cooperating very well. So, you know, we apologize for that. I'm glad you can make amends and come back on this week. Looking forward to what you had to hear and what you're going for. I think you just got another Reserve Grand Championship, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. Yeah, we had a great call on chicken. We had a 180 chicken. Then we had our ribs that we ended up in 14th spot. And then we had second in pork and first in brisket.
That's amazing. You still came out on the RGC.
Yeah, the team that beat us, they're a great team. They have had three or four RGCs in a row. They have been just nipping it. And they put it all together. They beat me by half a point. We were both just 3 points off of the 700 club. So there was some good high scores turned in, given.
Well, that's good. That's good to see that when you get, you know, some consistent scoring once in a while. And, you know, the barbecue, you know when your food's good and when it's not, especially if you've done it as long as you have. And yeah, there's going to be some contests you're going to eat through and say, well, I didn't really deserve it, but I'll take it. But there's others when you know you had a really good cook and it doesn't go so well for you. But now you're sitting on number six just like I am, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there was three of us at this contest that were sitting on number six.
Huh. Well, you know, Rob Bagby and me, him, and Donnie were going head-to-head last weekend. We all had six, and none of us won it. Donnie got a reserve grand up there in Dillard, and then this past weekend he put it all together and won McMinnville. And Rob is actually with our butts up there in Franklin. He was leaving no doubt in his mind he wanted to be at the Jack. So, you know, real strong showing. He's a great guy, he really is. We had a celebratory dinner, and we ran out of room to fit people in it because everybody's leaving, but everybody had RVs and all this other stuff that wanted to go eat, so, you know, they're kind of landlocked. So we said, Rob came back, and I had to drive his truck. My wife had to drive mine, and for my wife to give up, you know, adult beverages so that she could drive is a big, monumental thing for Rob, so he ought to feel very, very privileged for that. We had a great time at dinners and stuff up there, and I'm sure y'all did too. And, you know, Rob's a great guy. You know, so are you. I mean, you've got certain people in the barbecue industry that just goes above and beyond, you know, just normal friendship and stuff, what you do for barbecue. And y'all have both exemplified the promotion of barbecue, and, you know, all of us teams out there are kind of reaping the benefits from it. And, as you know, you've got some excellent products out there on the market, and you're proving they're excellent by week in, week out, some of the teams that you sponsor. And if I'm not mistaken, not only do you sponsor me, but I think you also help Rub out too, don't you?
Yes, sir, we do. Yeah, we do.
So but tell us a little bit about your barbecue pit match last week. We're trying to get it fresh off the press and everything, and coming off another win in the regionals. And kind of walk us through what you're going through.
Well, let's just start out with the buffalo short ribs. They showed they gave us 10 hours on those, and they actually only gave us 5. So buffalo short ribs, it's just another lean piece of meat. And with 5 hours, I knew we didn't have enough time to actually cook them right. And when I was watching the show, I get to see it the same time everybody else gets to see it. And when I was watching the show, I realized, oops, that's what I did wrong. When I wrapped them, I actually meant to flip them upside down to help that beet or that meat stay down in the juices and stuff, but I didn't. I left the bone down in it. I never even caught that till the TV show was airing, and I thought, well, that's one reason why they didn't braise any better than they did. I didn't even realize it. But, oops, yeah, that happens.
Amazing what you can do, you know, what you can figure out when you videotape yourself.
Yeah, it's different cooking in front of a camera. It's different figuring out the game to play. I mean, let's be real. It's a game show, and there's things that you have to be aware of and things that I've learned over the World Food Championships last year. I mean, that stuff sat around for a long time, and the food that you're being judged here, I mean, it can sit around anywhere from 2.5 to 4 hours before it gets judged. So there's things that you've learned, things that you know, that you get observant on, and you have to figure out what to do to make your food taste right, hot and cold. So that's some of the tricks that you got to be aware of. But anyway, that's beside the point. We did the fresh ham. And what you never seen on TV, and I really don't know why they didn't show it, but I had two kinds of ham in that box. They only showed my cured ham and talked about my cured ham. I did two completely different styles of pork. I did the cured ham, and I did a fresh ham. I did one that was a fresh ham, just like every pork butt we cook, and I knew they would like that because they liked the savoriness of my pork butt in the season, the show before. And we do pretty good in pork, so I thought, well, I'm going to do a fresh one and a cured one. I know these other guys won't do a cured one, and that'll set me aside. Maybe that's why they showed it only. But I was reading a lot on the Internet afterwards, and everybody was talking about, well, character should have won this and that because, just due to appearance. Well, but what they never showed was the judging and my other pork, which was just phenomenal. I think the Melissa, when they showed her judging it, I actually think that was the fresh pork that they showed her doing, and then the other two they showed doing my fresh ham, my cured ham. So they kind of showed a little bit of both, but they never let on that there's two types of meat in there. So that was kind of interesting how they cut and made the cut room, you know what I'm saying, the editing. So
when you see that, that's actually the first time you ever see it after you compete. I mean, because I know y'all don't get to see what other people are and all that, but that's the first time you actually see a total thing.
Yeah, that's okay? First time we get to see that show the same time the rest of the world sees it. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
They do a lot of taping for 42 minutes of television. I won't tell you that. there's a lot of taping going on. And there's as much on Sunday as there is any other day. Sunday you sit around and it's all those excerpts where they show you going, where they stand, or you stand, it looks like you stand up and you're just talking to the camera. Most of those are all done on Sunday, and that can take anywhere from 4 to 7 hours. For that. So it's an all-weekend process. We've been fortunate enough where we was able to get out of there, one of them at 4 o'clock and one of them was at 6 o'clock at night, and you'll start in the morning. So it is an all-day process on Sunday to finish up the show.
So now how all those little all those little interviews they have with y'all, you know, y'all like supposedly talking behind the scenes, is that all done on Sunday or?
Yes. If you see us just standing there to the side where we're not around our tables and stuff, yeah, that's all done on Sunday. We just have to relive it. The producers has pages and pages and pages of questions, and they take notes the whole time through, and they'll ask you a question, and you got to relive it like you're back in the same time frame. Well, I just opened up the ice chest, and I see I got pork butts. Oh, I love it. I mean, and it was 48 hours before that. You know what I'm saying? So they will tell you the position that they would air that, and you gotta say it like it just happened. Or yeah, you can talk about now we're at the end of the cook. What'd you think? Stuff like that. So they're professionals at what they do, and they do a good job at it.
Right. Now y'all, what's the other thing? I know I had Robbie Royal on the show last week, the week before, and he was talking about how he's become such close friends with some of the cast, with some of the, the crew. Do you keep in touch with any of those guys, or do you have the same ones from one show to the next, or are they all different?
Well, it's the same group, but they may rotate. The producer we had for the first show, we also had for the second show, but we did not have it for the third show. We had a different producer, but we've seen this guy at the other two shows also. He was just with other contestants at that time.
Right. So was it, did you get, I know you're promoting a lot of your runs and stuff, so do you use, like, on the hands, do you use your pork injection? Do you just come up with something different, or?
Well, with the fresh pork and ham, I'm sorry, with the fresh pork, yes, I used my pork injection. But that's the one that you never seen on TV. The other one that you did see on TV is, it's a quick cure. It's an item that we use in the meat shop, and I can cure bacon with it and go straight in the smoker with it. I mean, bacon doesn't have to set but 5 minutes, and it can be put in the smoker. I set those hams down. I cured them in about 2 hours and smoked them and had them ready. So, I didn't cure them, but they didn't set but about 2 hours before I put them in the smoker.
Now, how much experience have you had doing, like, hams and stuff? Because I know you're from the Midwest, and, you know, a lot of that is, like, you know, Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland-type stuff. Did you ever have much experience doing that, or you do some read-ups on it, or what got you to do it the way you did it?
I do that cured ham like that right there. I do those every week in the shop.
Okay.
Doing a ham is just like doing a brisket. I mean, I know how to do a ham. I mean, seriously, we do hams. We cut pigs up every week, and they've all got two whole hams. They got two pig mix. We do hams and bacon every week in the shop.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, I've been talking to you a little over a year. Think about two weeks before, we had one of my biggest shows last year with you on here. What all, and I've always been kind of intrigued on this too, what do you do in your so-called real job that most of us have? You know, nobody knows the real behind the scenes. I've seen you... I thought I saw you in kind of like a mobile processing thing. We go to people's places and you process stuff. So it looked like you were in the back of a truck trailer with the whole butcher set up. And then do you have a butcher shop? People come to see you. What kind of products do you have? And, I mean, how long have you been doing it? I know you've been doing this since you're knee-high to a grasshopper, but let's hear a little bit more about that.
Okay. We are classified custom exempt. We do custom processing, and the exempt part is that the meat inspector inspects our meat shop for cleanliness and wholesomeness, but the meat itself is not inspected for retail. We still go to the farm. We do farm kill, and that's a truck and trailer setup. But we don't cut and process it out on the farm. We just we kill it, we skin it, gut it, and quarter it, and then bring it back to the shop and hang it up. We'll let it age in the cooler, get the cutting instructions from those farmers, and we cut it up, vacuum pack it, and freeze it according to how they want it and how many to a package. And then we call them up and say, come give the wife some money so I can get this out of my freezer.
That's so she can get her horses, right?
Yeah, that's right. But now the custom processing is what we do. We don't retail any meat whatsoever. I don't sell sausage. I don't sell brisket. I don't do anything like that. We make sausages for the consumer as to whatever they want out of their pig or out of their beef. We make two kinds of summer sausage. We got snack sticks, hot links, Italian sausage, bratwurst, knotwurst, German sausage, Polish sausage. I make all kinds of sausage for people, or then just good old-fashioned breakfast sausage. But we don't retail any of that. You know what I'm saying? That's a different life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if somebody has an animal they want to get processed, they bring it to you. Are y'all mobile too?
Yeah.
Y'all just
no, we don't do any killing on site. We do everything out on the farm. I'm booked out until the second week of February of next year.
Well, is that all?
Yeah, I've got them lined up. They were all killing today. We kill on Mondays, and we kill once a week, and then those will hang, and then we rotate them around, and then what we're cutting this week is what was killed 10 days, 2 weeks ago. And we just rotate them around in the cooler. It's a big oval, big circle. And it pretty well takes care of itself as far as moving around the rails, as far as the rotation of them. But we just do the custom processing.
And obviously that hasn't slowed down at all.
No, hasn't slowed down at all. We got a little bit last year to where we're in a drought here in Oklahoma and Texas, and a lot of farms were selling out. The Oklahoma beef producers, 21% of the herds in Oklahoma was sold out and sent to other parts of the country. But we've been fortunate enough to where this year we've had record rainfalls and brought the water table back up. So we're back to doing real good now. And people are just wanting to know what's in their meat right now. That's a big selling point that these farmers are able to say is, look, we know what's in this. There's no hormones, no antibiotics, nothing like that. And we got other farmers that they hormone up the antibiotic, and it's some of the best beef you'll ever eat. They just feed it right. And they sell for premium dollars. They sell everything for premium dollars. We get what we get. And people will spend a couple $1,000s for one beef, but they get it packaged the way they want it packaged, how many in a package, aged the way they want it aged, thickness, thinness, lean of a hamburger, and they get to get it their way.
Now, do you always go through all those items with somebody that wants to get it done, or do y'all give them tips on what, you know, the norms are stuff?
It's custom processing. Each beef is different. We'll have one guy that'll want sirloins 1.25 inches. One guy will want them 1/4 inch. We'll have someone want ribeye. Someone will want bone-in rib steak. Maybe 1.5 inches, maybe 3/4. They may want New York strips and fillets versus T-bones. They may want 85% hamburger, 90% hamburger, or all into patties. No roast, all stew. I mean, some people want their liver, their heart, their tongue. Some people say, nope, you put that back in the freezer with me, I'll send it back home to you. People go back and forth. Everyone's different. We talk to each individual person. It's their beef. We're a custom processor, and we do them one at a time. And do them the way they want them.
Now, you do hogs and beef, or?
Yes, we do beef and pork. We're not licensed to do sheep or goats, but we are licensed to do beef and pork. And the only reason we're not licensed for sheep and goat is at the time that I filed for my licenses, I was unaware that it was a different license, and I didn't fill out for it. And we got the license, and I was actually talking to my inspector, and I was like, well, tell me about this. And he says, well, you didn't apply for that. Well, what's it going to take to apply for it? And I said, the heck with that. So we just went on, and we've done nothing but beef and pork. And I can't complain. Beef and pork's been good to me. And like I said, I stay booked out 6 to 7 months with people waiting on me. So I'm as busy as I can be here in the shop.
Well, that gives them time to so-called feed them out then, doesn't it?
I have got things booked for 2015 right now. Some of these animals, their destiny has been penciled in, and they don't even know it yet. They might not even be born.
They don't know what hit them yet, and they're not even an egg yet.
Yeah, that's right.
So how many people you got helping you with all that? I know your brother's with you, isn't he?
No. My brother that cooks with me, he works for the state of Oklahoma. He's a mechanic. He works for the Department of Motor Vehicles. It's my son and myself. We take care of the meat plant. And during deer season, we'll bring in some little extra help here and there to help out with deer season. But we take care of all the beef and pork ourselves.
That's pretty good. I keep it all in the family, right?
Yeah, pretty well. Yep.
Now, you've got some amazing products out there online and stuff and stuff you had developed. What kind of got you into doing that? Because I know this isn't something that you just throw together and, after talking to you as many times we've talked, it sounded like a really lengthy process to do your injections and, rubs and stuff. It wasn't something you just threw together with some apple juice and stuff and said, knock yourself out. It was more of a science approach to this. And I know you had it done several, I'm thinking 100 cooks to get it right.
Oh, yeah. Now, when it comes to the beef injection, was the first thing I actually came out with. And what that consisted of is something that we use in the meat shop this isn't a very far off of what we use in the meat shop on some different skirt steaks and stuff like that. The main difference is the thickening agent of it, the xanthium gum, and it has some MSG in it. But the HVP is the same basis of what I use in the shop on some stuff. The HVP is hydrolyzed vegetable protein. Sorry about that. And there's tons of different HVP out there. There's tons of different manufacturers. And knowing what I know, I don't see how someone could get into it without understanding more of the process of how meat cooks. You have to know a lot more of that than you do the science of the injecting. I've been very fortunate. I get to work with OSU. It's Oklahoma State University, which is just a little bit up from me, a little bit 30 miles north. But being on the board of directors for the Oklahoma and Texas Meat Processors Association, I was fortunate enough to be in the know of a lot of things coming up and going out. And there was a company that was coming in, and I got in on the ground floor of it, and that's pretty well where I come up with this beef injection. I worked with them, and they helped me out. So they're a food scientist, and myself developed this. And we got to talking a lot as far as contests. I had started doing contests, and all I used for the first 6 months was just raw phosphate and water because of the principles of what phosphate does. And, man, I thought I was just Johnny Appleseed. I thought I had all kinds of new stuff going on. I was injecting my ribs. I was injecting this. I was taking gallons of phosphated water to the cook-off. And, boy, I kept it all packaged up. No one could see it. I really thought I was hot stuff, thinking I had some stuff. I look back now and I go, oh my God, I had to be a goober looking fella out there. But the premium rub that we've got, I've used that particular blend of rub ever since my first cook-off. I love that stuff, and that's my favorite rub. My honey rub is the nation's favorite rub, but the premium rub is my personal favorite. So that's, and the rubs came pretty quick after that. I had folks using my brisket injection in October, using it at the American Royal, and I never even put it out to the market till February, because after there was three teams used it, and all three teams made the top 20. And I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't say nothing, because that's up to them to acknowledge if they use it. But they kept telling me, okay, we need to do this with it and need this to happen. And we did a lot of tweaking and testing, and I cooked all winter long with it. And I actually came out that next year with it, and that's when I started marketing it. So that's kind of how the beef injection come out.
That's good. Now, you come out with a honey rub also not too long ago, didn't you?
Well, the honey rub was our second rub out. We've had that probably 5-6 years. We were, to my knowledge, we're the first ones in the market that had a honey-based rub. There's several out there now that's got like products and copies and stuff like that. But I'd like to think I was one of the first ones out there with it. I just kind of use what I cooked with, and I kept in mind, well, if I'm doing this, I bet everybody else is too. So I took a pretty basic rub, and I added some dehydrated honey to it, and we worked with it on the burn cycle. I had some friends in Tulsa I gave some to, and I was saying, y'all cook different than I do. We cooked it over live fire. We did it over charcoal. Did it in a smoke pit. Did it in an FE. Well, I was trying to find to make sure it didn't burn, see what the burn factor was. And I didn't want it to char. I didn't want it to leave an aftertaste. And I never found it. If the sugar burnt in it, the honey burnt. But the honey never burnt before the sugar did. So it never would get to 265, or is that 265, 270, that sugar burns. I forget. But anyway, the smoke point of sugars. But so everything was good with that. And we came out with a honey rub, and that's been our best-selling rub ever since we've had it out.
Well, good. Like I said, we really love it. And, you know, we use it on just about every meat that we do. So just put a little tidbit out to people out there. You know, it wasn't until we really had this talk last year, and, you know, we got a sponsorship from you and everything, started using your product religiously on our food, on the meats that we compete with. Of course, we did several, you know, practice cooks and everything with them. And, you know, just talking to you and having you on the sidelines, so to speak, like a coach, it really upped their game. And if there was one thing that separated us from last year, from winning, you know, 2 or 3 grants, and this year winning 6, it's really truthfully the help that you've given us over the past month to really improve our competition meats and the quality of them and the consistency of them. And, you know, it's the products that you have that have really, you know, really catapulted us up in the, you know, top 10 in the country. And, you know, we can't thank you enough for what you've done. And, you know, it's a lot of, we realize now, after looking at new scoring, a lot of it is luck, getting on the good tables and stuff. But, you know, it's also having the quality of the product that you put on the tables to consistently do that. You know, when you're consistent, as some of us are, using certain products, it's not all luck, you know. It has to do with the science and the trials and tribulations you put behind your products, and the name of your product, you know, putting your name on it means that you're going to stand behind it. And it's really up the quality of our cooks. And, you know, we really appreciate everything you've done for us. And, you know, and people don't realize that, you know, Butcher Barbecue was, before we started using it, people were dealing with it over here on the East Coast. You know, I'm sure there were some big teams using it, but they weren't saying anything. And, you know, after I started using it, you know, I found a few teams using a little bit of this and using a little bit of that and everything. But, you know, just like I said, just the quality of meat and the consistency of the flavor profiles that come out of it. I mean, I'm living proof. I mean, Killer Bees is living proof that your products do work, and they work really good over here on this East Coast, and especially in the Southeast. So, you know, people looking at getting this stuff, it's not just a Midwestern rub. I mean, it works everywhere. You know, so we're looking forward to, you know, I've got faith. I've got faith that we're both going to be in the Jack. I really do. I've got two more contests to get in there. How many more contests do you have?
I'm only going to cook one more. I'm taking this coming weekend off. Before I got into cooking and everything, I shot archery. I shot a lot of world-class archery tournaments. And next week, or this coming weekend, our local schools having an archery deal. They have that archery in schools program to help promote the archery. And the local club is having a benefit shoot to help raise money. And so the wife and I are going to go and help support them and see if we can't raise some money for them. So I have taken this coming weekend off to help the locals. And I've actually got a week I got to cook. I cook for a local FFA. I got a couple cases of briskets I'm going to cook. They always auction them off at the local fair, and kind of a deal that they've gotten used to is raise some money. So I'll cook a couple cases of briskets for the local FFA too. I'll get all that done this weekend. Then we'll do the one up in McPherson, Kansas the weekend after, and that's it as far as for the Jack draw. So we'll just do what we do, and, you know, if we make it, we make it. If we don't, hey, we've been there three times. We've enjoyed it every time. I'd really love to go this year because it is our 25th anniversary, and I know they've got some unique things going on for that, and I'd really like to be a part of it and watch it. But, you know, if we don't get to go, hey, I'll save my money. And 2 weeks after the Jack anyway, this year, we're headed back out to Vegas to defend our title for the World Food Champion. So we'll go cook that out there.
Well, that just shows right there, you're using your product all the way out west, and we're using it over here on this side. And products work. I mean, you know, people make their own injection stuff. And I think you told me back, again, last year, you know, people that use the apple juice and vinegar and all that, you know, with what you're adding is more of a moist pork flavor, whereas a lot of these are adding, you know, you're taking away pork flavor, in my opinion, when you start adding all the fruit juices and all that. And we got away from that when, you know, our pork started being more consistent. And, you know, right now I think we're 12th in the country in pork and 8th and 9th in ribs in the country. And, like I said, we don't know where the ribs came from or the pork, because those were our two worst categories last year. But I know we started using your products on them religiously. And I don't know. I will admit we've been a little lucky on those, but we've just been hammering some good food out. And last week, to me, was our biggest disappointment. We had a really good cook. Weekend before, I really thought our ribs were going to bomb. They were kind of grainy in texture, had a good moisture, good flavor, everything. They were just, you know, almost crumbly when you chewed them. But we squeaked out we have a 14th in ribs on that one. But this week our ribs were dead on. We got 8th in ribs, but we had a couple other teams come over and try them. They said, that's not a first-place rib. I don't know what it is. So we couldn't cook a rib any better than what we did. But we were disappointed in our brisket score and everything. So we were our pork is what got us. We had awesome pork. I had a money muscle size of your wrist. And I had like 11, 12 pieces from that one money muscle. I mean, it was a toad.
Wow.
When I was cutting it, you could just see some moisture starting to come out of there. The end pieces, when I squeezed them, it looked like you're squeezing a sponge. Great flavor on it. I mean, it was is it really doubtful when we finish 29th? Or like, what? I mean,
yeah,
that was a big disappointment. You know, the week before we knew, you know, I think I told you before, brisket was off and our ribs were off. So we kind of knew that one. But this week, we had one of the best cooks we've ever had. We finished 10th overall, but I still feel a little robbed on the pork. But, you know, it is what it is. I told Janice we still got two more contests. You know, I'm not changing the damn thing. I mean, it's the same meat we won, you know, several grands with this year. So, you know, I just, you know, the judges were looking for something else. I don't know. But,
yeah. Let me ask you this. What do you think of these new score sheets?
I love them.
I do, too. I like them. I think there's a lot of thought put into them.
Yep.
I like the ability of seeing who I cooked against on what table, what meat. And throughout the year, we're going to be able to see how Butcher Barbecue compares against Killer Bees. You know, if we were cooking a lot of the same contests.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? If I cook down there a lot, we could say, hey, how are my ribs compared to his? And he's the best rib cook in the nation. I'd like to know that. And if I got two three contests in a row, and where I'm getting thirds and he's first and we're on the same table, that tells me I better step it up a little bit. So,
it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's right. But on the other hand, it does show if there's some bad tables out there.
Well, I'm actually looking at one of my my contest I did up in Maggie Valley, which we took grand.
Yeah.
And I've actually got it sitting right here. And I ranked, table 8 ranked 4. I've got 3 firsts on the table. Let me see, pork ribs. I'm trying to see where we're at. Actually, I've got, first. Yeah, I ranked first on 3 tables and 4th on 1 table. 1 table got 4th on that was in chicken. I got 20th on it. But what I was getting at was, you know, just because, say you got like 48 teams and, you know, you finished 14th in ribs, you think, well, I was second on the table. Not necessarily. You could have been first on the table, just been on a lower scoring table. Now, Florida's been doing this for years. So you could tell, you can follow the table and see which tables were high scoring consistently, which ones were low scoring, and which ones were, you know, middle of the road. And it's amazing how many high and low tables you will have. And you got some judges that just, I don't think they like barbecue. I'm sorry, I just seen some of their averages for a day when it's a 25. You just didn't like a damn thing you ate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, here's a friend of mine, and I'm not going to say who it is, because I don't know if he would want me to. But I'm going to read you a text he sent me after getting this weekend's results. He is a top 10 team in the nation, and you're talking about winning your table. You know, you just about got to win your table to win the contest.
Yeah.
Let's see. On brisket, he won his table on brisket. He was 22nd overall in brisket. wait a minute. I lost my text. He won his rib table, and he was 16th in ribs. He was second on the pork table. He was 15th overall in pork. They won their chicken, and they got 5th. He ended up 13th overall.
Huh.
That shows you that there was 3 bad lion tables, and he hit all 3 of them. And if he won that table and still didn't get above 20th in one, 16th in another, see what I'm saying? That shows you that sometimes, yes, there is tables that do that. Absolutely. You can't deny that. I don't think that any organization can deny, or will they be happy that there's now proof. But what you can also look at the objective is now there's going to be proof that there's high tables. There's maybe not really going to be an average table. You're going to find a table that just, man, that's the one you wished you got on every time. Because you're going to be able to flip through, and four of the six pieces they judge is going to be in the top 10 every time. That's awesome stuff.
So, that's a good thing about all this is that you can actually see how you if you won your table three out of four times, you were second on the other table, you've done all you can do. You know?
That's absolutely right. That's the way I look at it myself. You know, hey, the overall scores are the overall scores. All you can do, and don't tell me it's not comparative judging, but you're going against a mini contest four times. To me, I'm going against six other cooks four times. All I got to do is do what I can to win those four contests. And then the overall is just going to be who has the most scores with all the tables. But I look at it just like you. I just want to be the best rib on that table or the best chicken, that type thing. And that's all you can do. And I call them my mini contests. I just want to try to win those four contests before the final. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's it really, really lets you see how you do. Lets you see what the judges are scoring. You might have one judge on that certain table if you follow it all the way through that, like I said before, just doesn't like barbecue. Yeah, you can almost track new judges that way too if you really look at it. I don't think I've heard of anybody have one bad thing to say about new scoring system. Like you said though, the biggest issue is you win your table and you're 22nd or 29th. I won my rib tables last 2 weeks and I was 14th. Actually, I won my rib table last 3 weeks. I had a 14, a 14, and a 8. So, it was, it's just kind of, and I'll tell you another little secret. In Greenwood, we had 78 teams, and where were we at? In Dillard, we had 60 teams up there. We finished eighth in chicken, and we were third on our table in chicken.
So
we were first in ribs on both of those, and we were 14th in both of those. So, it was amazing to see, that table really liked our chicken. And then you start seeing who else was on there, and you're like, well, damn, no wonder, It also lets you do what we're starting to figure out this week is, when you take your tray up there and you see other teams coming up there, they've got four trays sitting out there that are trying to mix teams up and stuff. It will surprise you how they don't mix them up like you think they do.
Well, it's not that they mix them up, Jim. It's not that they actually mix them up. The table captains that's around the curtain, around the corner, whatever, when they go back behind there, those table captains have already got a list of the numbers that they've already had. So if that tray goes back and there's four on that tray that they've not had, they don't get to, there's no reason to change them.
Right.
So, it's not that they don't mix them up. It's just that the table captain that grabs that tray, he's not had those before, so there's no sense in him not or changing them just because they're on the same tray. It's all up to the table. But if his table had four of them, then they would get mixed up.
Yeah.
So in a bigger contest with more tables, there's a less chance that it's going to get changed around from the original when the cook set it down from behind the curtain. Yeah. There's less chance of it'll change.
Right, right. And that's what we noticed this past weekend because, we turned in the brisket in with a couple other teams, and all three of us were on the same table. Even though they had four strays out there, I think what you said when they put them back and they had them on the tray, they instead of moving him to another tray and having likelihood of hitting another table twice, they went ahead and just put them all on the same tray and took them back there. So
yeah, because there's no sense in it, because that one table captain had never had them before. There's one team this last weekend, I was on the same table as him three times. But all three times we hit different tables.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's just that the table captain A never had them, so he took them. Table captain B, when he come up, he's looking at it and go, I ain't had those numbers either. So, I mean, so it is, once it goes back, it's just according to how they've had them and how they haven't had them. So, I mean, in that one team, we was on the same table three different times. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I said, how do people like it out in the Midwest? Do they like it, or are they?
I think pretty well. It's being taken real good. I think a lot of people like it.
Yeah, man. Like I said, around here, you know, a lot of us in Georgia and Florida and stuff. Of course, we do the Florida Barbecue Association, the FBAs, and they do that. And it took me a little while to understand it, because I only done one FBA and I won it. But it took me a little while to figure out what they were saying. And then once I saw it, and we got these new ones, just like, exactly what they're saying here, you know. So I was giving classes to a lot of the teams that were there, like, I don't understand, what's this number here, and what's that? I said, well, this is the number the judge gave, averaged for you, and then this is the number that the judge averaged for the day. And if they don't get their averages up a little bit, then they suck.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's like you can see some judges. Now, granted, there is some bad barbecue out there. You know, there really is. Even a professional, there's some bad barbecue out there. But overall, you know, when somebody averages a one, some judge averages a 25, and if you do that, you know, on a five-score thing, the team would get a 125 out of 180. I mean, that's what he's kind of telling us, what he had for the day.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard to swallow. You know, it's, granted, you've had some bad barbecue, but you had to have some good, decent barbecue, too. There's enough teams out there now to where you've got some really good teams, you've got some pretty good teams or above average, and you got some below average, and then some really bad ones, but they should all average out to a certain degree. And not every table is going to get the best barbecue, and not every table is going to get the worst barbecue. But, you know, you got to take it for what it's worth. And, you know, hopefully, you know, this is the biggest misconception. We had two master judges cooking with us this week, and they were in there tasting our food. And we told them, so look, we want to be as blatant and honest as possible with the food. Well, when they bit into the chicken, they're like, you know, it's got a little bite to it, probably a little bit more than what some people would like. But, you know, so it was moist, it was tender, it had good texture. You know, the guy said, well, you know, I like it, but, you know, my wife might not. She goes, well, it's got a little bit too much bite for me. But she said, I'll probably give it a 988 or 989. I said, okay, I mean, that's understandable. So we finished I think 11th and chicken. Actually, we're like tied for 9th, but lost, you know, the tiebreaker or whatever. But anyway, when they got to the ribs, we cooked 5 racks and got to rack number 4. We had 2 that were really good. Number 3 was so-so. And then when they got number 4, all 3 of my wife and those 2 judges sat there and said, wow, that's a good rib. All right, well, they going in the box. So, you know, we finished, I don't know, 14th or 16th in ribs or something. We were 8th in ribs. That's right. We were 8th in ribs. And even had another team come over and say, man, that's the best rib out. And you may know him, Sweet Peppers.
Oh, yeah. You know, from Arizona?
Yeah. He's a great guy. His name's Jim Ballard, I think. Helping Pick Porker's cook. And a great guy. We got to meet him, hang out with him and everything. And, you know, he was trying to figure out if there was any different flavor profiles from here to out west. But great guy. We got to meet him, hang out with him for a while. He came over and, you know, ate a rib, and he said, man, that's a great rib. But then they got to the pork, and they loved the pork. They said, we've never had pork this good. I said, really? They said, yeah, we've never had your pork. We've never had pork this good. I'm telling you, this is really good pork texture. You know, they ate all the pieces I was going to put in the box, and they were like, man, this is really good. And then they got their brisket. They said, we hadn't had your brisket either, so this brisket's off the chain. Well, we finished 16th in brisket and 29th in pork.
Yeah, so, but how was your numbers? How was your numbers? What was your score? Would you have 170-something?
I had, we scored a 680 overall. And
okay, what was your rib number and your brisket number? What was your score?
I can't remember. I think it's still out in the truck. I know that the chicken was chickens were around 170. The rib was about a 173, somewhere around there. The brisket was 169, 170, somewhere around there, and the pork was a 163 or something.
Okay, so see, your ribs you thought were dynamite, and they did too. Hey, a 173 rib, dude, is a 170 rib is dynamite. That just means there was 12 other ribs turned in that was as good. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that I look at is if I really like something and we get 14th place, first thing I go and do is look at the score. If I've got a 159, dude, I don't like it. But if I got a 170 and I'm in 14th place, that means there was 13 other ribs that was a 171 or better. Hey, those judges had a good night or good day in there. You know what I'm saying? And I always look at this, too. This is another way I look at it. If I'm averaging, say, take ribs, if I'm averaging 167, 169, and I got a great rib, and I get plummeted on this overall, and I'm in 25th place, and I look at the score, and I'm at 165, well, that's in the ballpark of where they score, and I can't be too grateful. So I would never tell someone to say just because that's your best rib or your neighbor said it was your best rib or you thought it was the best rib. If it scores the same as to what you always are getting, that's it. You're right. That might have been the best rib, but it still was only a 165. So it's hard to describe, but, yeah, I think you're right on with what you're saying. It's just that I think people need to learn or to figure out that the scores are where it's at. Just look at them. Let's be real. Everybody loves barbecue, and at home, everybody's neighbors thinks it's the best barbecue in the world, and then they go to these cook-offs and get plummeted. Well, I don't get it. It's always good. Well, it's always good when it's free. Now, they got to make, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's neighbors, it's free to them, so they think it's the best in the world.
They go back to judges and eaters.
That's right.
But now, I told Jan, when we get up to 170 or better, then, we can't really do any more than that. It's up to whatever table that's land on.
Yeah.
So, I strive for 170s, and if I get them, I'm happy. And, hell, that's still a 680, and that's a very respectable score anywhere you go. And, you got some contests that just typically score higher just because of region or the judges or whatever they like or whatever. We've done very well in North Carolina. I can't complain. We've gotten two grands up there and a couple reserves up there. So, we're holding on there. And we come down here to Georgia, which is an unlikely spot for me to win because there's so many good Georgia teams here. And then you got some good teams from North Carolina come down, some from Alabama and Tennessee. And it gets really tough to win Georgia, but I've had really good luck this past year in Georgia. I've got four grands in Georgia. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that this coming week in Athens, I can get my fifth one and be at the Jack and not have to worry about that damn draw. But you know.
Have you had a chance to cook at the Jack yet? Have you ever cooked at the Jack?
No, I have not. I have, I think I had three draws last year and they get drawn. I had two in Georgia and one in South Carolina.
I didn't know if you made it. Go enjoy it. Take it in. And the way I always have told people is go up on the hill, eat supper. But remember, it's a cook-off. Don't do anything that you wouldn't do at a normal cook-off. Just because you're at the Jack, if you start your pork at 10 o'clock at night, leave the hill, get off of the party end, and go start your pork at 10 o'clock at night. You're still there for a cook-off. Take it in. Enjoy it. It's fun. It's great. And there's a lot to take in. Get there a day early. Go to the tours. Do all of that. But then when it comes to a contest, pull in there on Friday and you're at a contest.
Yeah.
Still, don't try and do all that Friday night when you should be concentrating on your contest.
Now, you can ask my wife. I'm not a big partier anyway. I mean, my limit, I drink two beers, maybe three. And, you know, I'm dead set on my timelines on what I've done, and that's the thing that has helped me with consistency. A couple other little things I've been doing that's really helped with consistency. Even a smoke you use helps a lot. But just staying focused on Friday night, and, you know, once I get my big meats on, I can relax for a couple hours before I go to bed because I am low and slow. So, the other reason why I do it low and slow, too, is if I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, something happens and the meat's not there, I still got plenty of time to get it done. Whereas, you know, when you start narrowing that feel of cooking in there, you know, then you got to really be on your game. So
I say, who you been talking to? Because I woke up at 4:30 this last week and my FE was out.
Really?
I kid you not. That's funny you say that. Yeah, I got up at 4:30 to go shake the dew off my lily, and I just always stuck my head up, and I looked in the back, and I looked down to 92 degrees, and I went, oh, crap.
You're cold smoking.
Yeah, exactly. And so we ended up getting, second in pork and first in brisket. So I got to emulate a smoker going out from now on. I'm going to replicate that same old thing.
Well, that's the good thing about doing it the way we do it, because like I said, you still have time to rectify everything without really screwing up all your time. Andrew's got FECs from Smokehouse Mafia, and he has trouble with his catching fire. And he said when the stuff catches fire, you know, it builds up all the pellets and it just goes woof. He said, I should warp that when I have a fire, but.
Yeah.
But
this is the first time I've had a. Go ahead. Sorry.
He's got alarms and stuff up there that tell me when it's cold or when it's too hot. He said, I had to get those. But like I said, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is the first time in 3.5 years I've had a problem with it. It doesn't normally happen, but, you know, it does happen. Yeah.
It does. I mean, some could happen to my, my breaker on where I hook my smoker and stuff to. I have a strip out on the back patio to where, you know, I can, I just plug my guru into it. And, something else was running off there anyway. Something happened to that thing, and it just quit working. But had to do something around 12:30, 1 o'clock that night. I was up for something, and I just happened over there to go and look, and the guru was just off. I couldn't figure out what it was doing, so I plugged in another extension cord from the inside. It fired right up. Granted, I only lost about 20 or 30 degrees, and, you know, picked that light back up, But if I hadn't been there, it would have been 4:30 in the morning, and it would have probably been down to 100 degrees. And But just little things like that, you know, my time schedule, I'm always up around 4:30. You know, it's just what I've done from day one, and I'm going to keep doing it. And like you said, if you have a problem, you're up, you're ready to take care of it and win a reserve. But I was really hoping you were going to win Brand this weekend, though, because, you know, Donnie from One County won his, and you know, there's several of us sitting there at six right now. And Rub had been sitting on six since February, and he went and did that Pitmaster stuff, so he said it kind of threw him off his game. So,
yeah.
And he was just, he was relieved. I'll tell you a funny story about Rub up there was, his wife does the desserts, and I saw him on Friday night. We had two birthdays, Bob from Two Old Men and Grill and Marsha from Pick and Pork. We were having a, you know, Friday night potluck birthday dinner slash everybody's invited type thing. And Rub had stayed up all week with his wife and kid, and, you know, they were doing the touristy stuff up there and, you know, hanging out for the week. That was their, you know, summer vacation and stuff. And they had a little cabin up on a hill. And he was went to go do something with them. And anyway, he didn't get back till about 6 o'clock. He was already about 7 hours behind his injections and all that. And I saw him, and he was in the trailer. He goes, "Man, I can't come over now. I'm getting this, getting that." He says, "I'll come over when I get done." I said, "That's fine, man. No big deal." He came over, and he looked wore out. And the next day, he said he had to go up to the top of the mountain and get his wife's dessert to bring it back down to turn in. And the turn in was like at 6:30. He left to go up the top of the hill at 6 o'clock. And came back down. He was talking about it. This was when it was funny, because he was talking about it Saturday. He was sitting on his step to his thing, and his wife was just grilling him because they got third in dessert. Just grilling him on, you know, what he served it in. And he said, "You know, I had 30 minutes to get up top of the hill and come back down that hill and get through all this traffic and run it over to the turn-in." He said she handed it to me in the old, like a casserole dish. He said it probably was a little rusty, but he said, "Yeah, I thought she was wanting on me." I said, "She handed it to me in it." So he said, "That's what I turned it in." And he said, "She was getting crap. I can't believe you turned it in that. That was, you know, you're supposed to do this and that and this and that." He goes, "Well, honey," he said, "I had 30 minutes. I must have broken 17 traffic laws trying to get back down here in that amount of time." He said, "The banana pudding and stuff was going all over the place." He says, "All I could do to make it back to get it turned in." So I was sitting there laughing. He was, "What's so funny?" I said, "He went X number of thousands of dollars, and she's worried about a $150 entry thing. And, yeah, you like, you're still trying to get back for that." And I said, "She's grilling you over what you served the damn banana pudding in." I'm like, "That's, I said, that's funny. I don't care who you are." She just started having to keep pumping on the chuckle. I'm like, "Damn." Well, the was like, yeah. She was like 20th overall. I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, but that might be her mad money, and she wanted that first place money.
Well, I told her, "Here's what you give her, $300, and say, I don't want to hear another word about it."
Yeah.
He's like,
and that's,
he's like, "Man, I just can't catch a break, Jim." But, you know, we went out
and eat
dinner.
And that's what we do barbecue. Yeah.
So we went out to eat dinner Saturday night. There was a little restaurant, a bunch of us went out and everything, and we looked out there, and there was no lie, there was a rainbow that was about where the contest was.
Oh, yeah.
I told Rob he needed to get over by that rainbow and point to it, and we'll take his picture of it with him. Because, I mean, it had to be a sign. So you know, we got a picture of the rainbow coming right out of Rub's head. We got another picture of him pointing to it. So, like, yeah, that pot of gold's up your butt now, buddy. But, you know, this was his last shot to get in. And, you know, he's cooked it one time before, and he told me afterwards, he was, "Jim," he said, "if it wasn't me getting in, I hope it was you." And he said, "I know you're going to get it." He said, "Everybody's got faith in you." And he said, "There's a lot of teams out there pulling for you to get your seventh and get in there." And he said, "I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be so confident." He said, "I'm going to try to get us side by side up there." He said, "I know you're going to make it." I said, "That'd be great."
Good.
But But, you know, you got a lot of Georgia teams pulling for us because they want me out of the Georgia draw. And got a lot of North Carolina teams pulling for me because they want me out of North Carolina stuff. So they're pulling for me for other reasons, but they really all want to see me get in there. And like I said, it'd be an honor to go up there and compete against all you guys and stuff. Yeah, I've made a lot of friends on this radio show. Still hadn't met you in person. I did wave to you at Trine up there when you were up there.
Yeah, but, that's right. Yeah.
But, you know, it's but, you know, at least when you get to a place like that and it pulls teams from all over the country, you know, you can put names and faces and voices and all that. And I'm going to try my damnedest to get in it. I'm not going to hold anything back, I can tell you that. But, yeah, I really want to get up there. And, you know, a lot of the reason why we do this is to meet new people, hang out and share experiences and, you know, just have a good time. This is a really big extended family that we've gotten into, and it keeps growing week to week, and I know you feel the same way. You've got a lot of friends out there that you go to different contests you'll see here and there, but, you know, it's good to have that camaraderie that's out there on the barbecue trail because you got to have something out there. Just can't be, you know, straight competing the whole time. You got to have some downtime to visit your friends and stuff, so. But like I said, we appreciate everything you do for us, and you really helped us step our game up. Whether you know it or not, it's really been nice to have you on the team and helping us out and doing what you do.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm honored that you'll even let us be a part of your team. And I say that to people, and I mean that sincerely. I know how much it costs, and I know how much people put into this, and I know the time it takes. I'm just honored that they'll let us be a part of their blood, sweat, and tears to get to the stage. And I'm a realist whenever I say I truly understand and thank you. I really do. I just want to say thank you.
Well, like I said, we appreciate it. And, you know, we promote your products and stuff that you have out there. I don't exactly get the injection, but with the rubs and stuff, I use them on my meats. I'm not going to tell you how much I use or what, but, but you know, we all of your products, some of your products on all of our meats, I'll put it that way. We use your products on every piece of meat we do, one way, shape, or form. And it's, like I said, it's really stepped our game up. I mean, you can tell in the KCBS standings where we're at and where we were at last year. And, you know, if you go and look back from August of last year to where we're at now, that's really when our run started. And, you know, that was right when I started, you know, going strictly with butcher products. And I'll tell you what, man, it's been an amazing ride. We've had a good time. And, you know, the quality of the meat that we've been putting out has been really, really good. And judges really liked it. And, you know, neighbors have really, really liked it. So they've got some kids that won't eat anybody's ribs but mine. I swear they're spoiled for life now. So, yeah, they can't go out to Longhorns or anywhere and get ribs and taste like ours. And they're like, they're not Jim's ribs.
Yep.
So they don't usually eat a whole rack when they're out there. But that's just really good. Like I said, we're just honored to, you know, for you to be on the side of my trailer and stuff and on my banners. And, you know, people come up and ask me about this and this and this. And I tell them, man, you need to get this stuff. It works. And I've gotten several other teams over here using your products and stuff. They've been coming by the trailer. It looks like I can say anything, but it looks like a crack house when they come over there because they're coming over with 20s and stuff and leaving with brown bags of stuff. So nobody wants to know what everybody else. So it's kind of hilarious. They're like, you got a brown bag? I put this in. I don't want him to know what I'm doing. And I'm like, don't worry. I won't tell. So, but, yeah, they said, just go to the trailer and you see the butcher on the side of it. You'll be fine. So, it was great talking to you, David, and congratulations on your next win in the regionals. Congratulations this past weekend on your reserve. And I'm going to be congratulating you in about 2 weeks when you're number 7.
We appreciate that.
We're pulling for you.
Well, man, I appreciate that. And congratulations to you on your success and great radio show and your great cooking and your cooking ability. And I wish you the best on getting your 7th one, too.
Well, I appreciate that. And coming from a guy who's been doing this and in the top year after year after year after year, you know, for how many years you've been doing it, We're kind of newbies at this, but we really appreciate it, and we're honored to have you call you one of our friends, and glad you could be on the show again. You make a great radio show guest, and people really would love to hear what you have to say. So it was great talking to you, David, and good luck in your next couple contests, and hopefully we'll see you up at the Jack, buddy.
Sounds like a plan, my friend. We'll see you there.
Thanks, David. Thanks for being on.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was David from Butcher Barbecue coming on, talking about his success in the Pitmasters. I think Rub might have got caught up doing something else. I hadn't heard from him yet. But like I said, I want to congratulate David. He won a reserve grand this past weekend. And I want to, there again, congratulate Donnie Bray from Warren County Pork Choppers for winning his seventh. And to Rub Bagby from Swamp Boards for winning his seventh up in Franklin, North Carolina this weekend. Great guy. He's got some great classes that you can take. And, he's part of the Butcher family, should I say. So we're real blessed to call these guys our friends, and we're so happy to see them at contests and stuff. And it goes for several other friends, and I want to wish, like I said, Marsha from Pick and Porkers, happy birthday, and Bob Roberts from 2 of Mini Grill, happy birthday. Sincerely, from the bottom of our hearts, and hopefully there'll be many more. We look forward to seeing our barbecue friends out on the trail. We will be in Athens, Georgia this week, competing against the likes of Wickecue, Bubba Q, Kewistoon and Bruin, Old Plantation, Georgia Boys, Bare Knuckle, Deep South, you name it, they're going to Jack's Old South. They're all going to be there. So to win another grand, seventh grand in Georgia, with a lot of my Georgia buddies up there, would be really, really nice. And so we look forward to competing with them this weekend in Athens at the Classic City Barbecue Bash. And we'll go ahead and cut the show out now. We do play Rocky a lot on here because I figure, I try to get a lot of the champions of champions on here week in and week out. And there's no other song that I'd rather play. So I want to thank my sponsors, Big Daddy's Bar and Grill, Bo Hammy. Great job, buddy. Appreciate you having on board. Butcher Barbecue product, Southern Q smokers, quality smokers at a reasonable price. This is what I've been winning on people. In a short time, within a year, with the Southern Q family, we've had 21 grand championships and probably just as many reserves, if not more. So if you're looking for a good quality, either a water pan smoker or a gravity-fed smoker, look for Southern Q smokers. Can't beat them. I also want to thank Wickecue, Jeff Campbell, for putting out a great product. I want to thank Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills here in Augusta. I want to thank Phoenix Printing for doing all our printing and wraps and signs and stickers and logos and everything else for us. Really want to thank Springer Mountain Farms for coming on board with the chicken sponsors. They've been really great to work with. Class Act is great all around. So anyway, this is Jim Berg from Killer Bees Barbecue. We will see you next week at the same time. All I can say is keep that smoke rolling, people. Talk to you later.